Welcome to the Decent Crypto Podcast. Today is March 18th, and we have the long-awaited 10 Commandments of Meme Coin Trading. Matt, welcome. How you doing?
Man, we consulted the scripture. We climbed the mountain. We received the words of meme coin gods, and we are here to deliver the wisdom. Because meme coins are here. They're here to stay. We hope. And I think most importantly, like, there's a lot of mistakes you can make, and I don't know about you, but I've made every single one of them. So I'm excited to give a little bit of guidance to people that might be new to the sport.
Absolutely. We've both been doing this for a long time. We've both been, I would say, you know, some of the earlier meme coin traders out here. I was looking at my wallet. One of the earliest NFTs that I have in my wallet is a SHIB ETH LP position, Uniswap V3 LP position, like 4 days after Shiba Inu launched. So, yeah, we've been doing this for a long time. And yeah, like you said, we're here to deliver the gospel. I think this is probably the number one most, I don't know if you would call this revolutionary, but we'll go with revolutionary way for young, young men, I would say, to be both addicted and to lose all their money, but to also make generational wealth. And so, you know, we're gonna try and help people. We have 10 commandments here today. If you follow these 10 commandments, there's a chance that you will not lose all your money. We're not here to deliver financial advice. Just speak our minds and tell our truth. So, Matt, why don't you kick us off?
Okay.
Give us our first commandment, or maybe our 10th commandment.
Commandment number 1 or 10. Thou shalt have a fucking thesis. So a lot of people miss this on meme coins, but it is thesis driven. It is not just like buy random shit and hope that it moons, right? It's got to be some kind of thesis. Now, that can mean a lot of different things in the meme coin world. One of them is like, it can be funny, right? The meme can just make you laugh. You see it a lot on Twitter. You think not a lot of people have noticed that there's a coin to buy. You check the holder count. It's pretty low. You think the meme is quality. You think it's going to spread. You buy it. That's a thesis, right? For me with Dog with Hat, what was my thesis? My thesis was the dog, first, the dog has a hat, right? But that's actually very important because the hat could be Photoshopped and put onto anyone. So, you know, people got more and more creative with this. I remember a few days into having Dog with Hat, somebody said, look, here's a photo of Trump with hat. Right. And like, then the coin went a little crazy on it. And then there was a Trump with hat coin and went to zero, of course. The thesis, so with Dog with Hat, it was like, you can put the hat on anything and you can put any hat on the dog. And that made it very memeable, and it made it easy for people to sort of like spread awareness of the meme. And a lot of people laughed at it. A lot of the derivative art was pretty funny. And so it spread. The dog has a hat is also just a great tagline. Right. When the coin's down, people are like, does he still have a hat? Right. It's like really easy to re-underwrite. He still has the hat. That was the whole thesis. So like, I think a lot of people think it's not fundamentally driven. For me, it's entirely fundamentally driven. And that can even be like price driven fundamentals. It can be like, look, Dog with Hat bonk got to here. Dog with Hat can get to there. Right. Or like, Dog with Hat got to here. Popcat can at least get to there. Right. But you have to have a thesis coming in because these things are really volatile, and it's important to be able to underwrite your thesis and make sure that like what you thought would play out is still playing out if the price starts to dump, right? So you know, to also re-underwrite if the price starts to dump and it didn't get to where you thought it was going to get, like, why? Was your thesis wrong? Is it not playing out how you thought it would? So you have to have a thesis.
So when you say you have to have a thesis, I fully agree. To me, having a thesis about to me, having a thesis is about who is going to be the incremental buyer after you. Who's going to come in that either, you know, they haven't seen this meme yet and they're going to see it at some point and think, let me buy this, or, who exactly is going to be buying this stuff? So I think that's what you have to really have a clear thesis about, and why would they buy it, right? And then from there, there's just like very fundamental stuff that you, like you said, it is actually quite fundamental driven. So with Whiff, it was like, okay, I mean, let's maybe talk about some of the other stuff that's also like fundamental to, you know, this. It's like virality is one of the things you're talking about. It has to obviously have that virality potential. You have to have, you know, just the idea of, you know, this thing being on TikToks and on, all over Twitter, and people being able to put the hat on, you know, themselves and on whatever else. Like, that's also one of the reasons Mog really picked up. People were putting the Pit Viper glasses on themselves and on basically everything. And then the two emojis of the cat and the finger pointing, the whole idea of getting mogged. These are all basically the same kind of concepts. Like, that was another thing. Like, remember, I think we were in Paris when we first saw Mog, and I remember buying on day one, actually. And I was like, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen. And you can just kind of pick up on these like very, kind of like fundamental things that memes have. So is there other stuff you're looking at? Like, obviously the virality potential, the kind of uniqueness of the meme, like, is there like a community aspect of it, or is there other stuff that could be a part of your thesis?
It's the virality, really, I think is the crux of it, right? So it's like, is it funny? Is it shareable? Can people create like derivative art that's funny? Right. Are they going to create derivative art that's funny? Or are they going to try and launch a derivative token based off of it? Derivative tokens, we can argue, are they good or bad for the original meme? Probably neither. Right. But if people are making a lot of derivative tokens instead of sharing the original meme in that meme coin's context, that's not good. Right. So if it pumps too hard too quickly, like, a lot of people are not gonna share it, buy it, and then that's not gonna incentivize them to share it. So there's all of those. There's also like how NSFW is it, right? So like Joe Boden is like very funny, very topical, right? And like the fundamental thesis behind Boden is like Joe Biden makes a fool of himself pretty much constantly. Most people agree with that. People are feeling a little bit like frustrated or some type of way, and this is a way for them to express like, I think this has gotten just like so ridiculous that fuck it, yeah, Joe Boden, right? And versus Elizabeth Horan, right? Arguably, yeah, funnier, right?
Yeah, much funnier, but too over the edge.
Yeah, like if I have a Twitter account that like my workplace oversees, like, or you know, I'm followed by my coworkers there or whatever, my mom or whatever, it's hard for me to share like the really explicit Elizabeth Horan like tweets, right? And so it's harder. It's just harder for that meme to spread. And I think like this is one of my like sort of corollaries is like I'm always trying to buy like stuff that can reach like mass appeal, and not stuff that's gonna like have that trouble breaking out of like the core and followers, right? At least like you have to underwrite the like the theoretical maximum market cap much, much lower if you have something that's like harder to share.
With this stuff, is there like a, almost like a, like an index, you know, like not like an index, but like, I don't know how you would even put this, but like a way to look at the market cap versus the virality, like the current virality versus potential virality and the potential market cap, like, is there a potential, or is there like a market cap that you generally like look at to buy these things? Like, you know, Boden, you mentioned, is it like 60 million, 70 million right now versus Whiff, which is at, you know, 2-3 billion. versus, you know, the first time you told me about WIF and that I got into WIF, it was at like 10 to 20 million and it had been kind of consolidating for a bit and it was just like breaking out. And I was like, wow, this is a proper breakout. And then I bought. So is there like generally a range that you look at, or is it most, or is there like sometimes a mismatch on, I think the sweet spot you want to be in is if there's a big mismatch between attention and market cap, but how do you like quantify that? How do you kind of look at that and kind of play that?
Yeah. So I guess market cap is pretty easy, right? You can look at that, but you can also look at number of holders and you can look at amount of liquidity in the DEX pools. And all of this is like available on BirdEye, right? You can look at the distribution of holders. So like, you know, usually if like the top 10 or 20 wallets are holding 2% or whatever, that means it was like a pre-sold coin. And like, it's a game of like, prisoner's dilemma to see who's going to like turn on the others first. And this is what happened with like OmniCat, right? Potentially strong meme, quite a bit of attention, but like the fundamentals just weren't there in terms of like holder base, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like one level, right? The other is like, so that's like current market cap. Then you have to think about potential, and it's like that you have to kind of measure that against like how hot is the market. How hot is the meme coin sector? How fast is that hot ball of money going to roll over into other memes, right? And there are just times when the market is heating up and hot. There are times when it has a blow off top, and there are times when it's cold, right? And in terms of potential, like it's very much time dependent. So it's not really fair to compare WIF to Boden because it's been around so much longer and it's started out when Sol was much cheaper. Right. And as Sol goes higher, like Dog with Hat goes higher, and versus like if you launch a meme coin today, Sol is already expensive. So aping one Sol is like actually quite a bit of money right now relative to where it was, you know, 6 months ago. And so I think of it always in terms of time, right, as opposed to like target market caps. But other people out there have like systems where they're like, look, like below 10 million, I have like one way that I approach this. 10 to 50, I have another way that I approach this. 50 to 100, and then 100 plus, it's all different. For me, it's all just about time. It's about like, where are we in the market? What's the most likely thing for the market to do tomorrow?
And you mean the market broadly, or the market for this specific coin, or for meme coins, or I feel like it is definitely a hot ball of money, but that hot ball of money is also expanding to the point where, you know, you kind of do have to think about who the new buyers are and who the kind of next wave of buyers after you will be. I don't know.
I mean, obviously there's tailwinds, right, from the broader market, but it's also like a case of like, how hot is the market overall? Like when Bitcoin's up 10% in a day, people feel pretty comfortable like yeeting quite a bit of their net worth into like shit coins, right? And so meme coins in particular tend to do well there, but sometimes they're splitting attention with like the AI sector, for example. And so, you know, if it's like, if it feels like meme coins have had a bad 2-3 days, there's a chance they'll revert. There's a chance that they'll keep running or they'll keep running down. And like, you always have to underwrite like where, you know, like if I'm allocating money to a meme coin, I'm trying to do it relative to other meme coins generally. And so, you know, if I think meme coins are going to have like another blow off top or whatever, then I'm like, okay, the last blow off top, the biggest meme coins were Bonk and WIF. And so, and they got to like 1 billion to 3 billion each, right? The next blow off top, I expect them to be at like, I don't know, 4 to 6 billion. Right. But I expect PopCat, which is currently trading at 250 million or 200 million or wherever it is today, to be like at least 400, because that seems like reasonable risk reward. So maybe I'll allocate there because it's slightly higher volatility. But that's just on the market side. Like on the attention side, it's all Twitter. I don't know about you, but for me, it's all Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
It's like just scrolling like an endless feed of Twitter. And being pretty ruthless about who to follow and unfollow and who to mute. certain people are just consistently wrong. And you don't want to, like, you don't want their takes polluting your timeline. Certain people are just talking about, like, engineering work, like EIP 4844, right? And it's like, you don't
then you
really
block them.
Yeah, you just block them completely, right? Versus, like, other people are, like, really big in other sectors, like AI. And if you're training those, like, and that's, like, your focus, you need to make sure that you're getting all of the information that you can out of them, but also who they follow, who do they retweet, right? Curate your Twitter, like, super carefully, and then just fucking stay glued to it. Be completely addicted to Twitter. Let it run, let it ruin your life, right? And call it working, right? And then look at, okay, when you search a ticker, who's tweeting about it? You have to be very careful about searching tickers, by the way, because when you do it, Twitter will automatically feed you content from those people, or from that contains that ticker. So if you search for Popcat, you'll get a lot more Popcat than the average person. So you have to be, like, very wary of, like, am I seeing this tweet because it has general engagement, or am I seeing it on the For You page because I searched for Popcat once, right? So be aware of that, because it can accidentally sort of, like, bias your feed. But when you go into, like, the search box, how many views is the average tweet getting, right? When you look at latest versus, like, top accounts in the search tool, how many views are each of those tweets getting? How much engagement are they getting? Are they getting a lot of retweets? Do you have large accounts like Ansem talking about Dog with Hat, right? Or is it just, like, small accounts that just all they tweet are tickers, right? That's, like, the biggest anti-signal is, like, small account, all they tweet are tickers. They're getting 300 to 600 views per tweet, right? You want people that are getting at least 1,000, ideally 5,000+ impressions per tweet. And then if you see, like, that there, and then you also look at, like, how creative are people being? Are there a lot of memes? Is there meme diversity, like, in terms of, like, just posts of, you know, the Joe Biden photo with, like, funny content written above it, right? How entertaining do I find it? How likely is it that one of these is going to go viral? And to me, it's all Twitter on the attention side of things. What do you think? Do you use anything else? Do you use Telegram?
I use Telegram for, like, not really, right? So, like, I'm in a bunch of group chats, the same as you. And if there is something that pops up in a bunch, then I kind of, obviously you just have to look into it, but it might be too late at that point even. It also depends where, but, like, I don't know. It's not really that much of a signal. I would say Twitter is really the place. I think for a lot of normie memes, we'll see more like TikTok and other platforms that you and I are just not attuned to be more and more important. Like, I'm shocked every day at how many random meme coins that I've never even seen come across are at, like, multiple hundreds of millions.
Me too. It's, I mean,
like Pang, right? Did you look at Pang at all?
No, I mean, I saw it come across some of my analytics tooling, but no, never, right? I never see anyone post about it. I never see anyone discuss it. And, like,
and now it's at what? I don't know
what it's pretty big.
It's at 100 mil. 100 mil, or is it even bigger?
I think it's
maybe 900 mil. I don't know.
Wait, what? What the fuck?
Okay, let's look it up.
87 mil. 87
okay,
mil.
87 okay. mil. Okay, great. Okay, so it got to 170, 190 mil at the peak. But yeah, this is something that you and I never saw on Twitter, never saw on our socials. We had no idea this was even happening, and it pumped to close to 200 mil. So I think we'll continue to see this kind of stuff where we don't really even know where the attention is coming from on these things, but it's outside of, you know, normal kind of crypto Twitter circles and still pumping. So I think this is kind of a sign of, you know, retail is maybe here.
Yeah, maybe engaging on Reddit or TikTok or something.
Yeah. Okay, so that was commandment number one, have a thesis. My first commandment. Okay, commandment number two, never sell. So I mentioned at the beginning that I have a wallet that has a SHIB, an ETH LP from like the first couple days of the SHIB launch. I looked the other day. I think if I had just held the SHIB, I think if I had LP'd it, I would have made a bunch anyways. But if I had just held the SHIB, if I had just bought the SHIB, held the SHIB, it would have been worth like multiple millions. I was actually recounting the other day. So I've been in the meme coin space for a while then, right? Like SHIB was what, 2020 or 21? Maybe 2020?
Yeah. Mid-2020.
Yeah, three, 4 years.
Popped off? Yeah.
Yeah. 3-4 years in meme coins. I was in SHIB early, whiff early, like early as in like first couple days, right? Whiff, Mog, Pepe, one more, I feel like. But each of those bags, if I had just literally never touched them, would have been multiple millions. And it's like, it's just happens too often, right? Where you just see something early and you're like just tempted to overtrade it. And the thing is, like, each of those I made healthy profit, but it's like each of those individually would be, you know, life-changing money. So the lesson here is that if you actually have a runner, you need to think very carefully about what it is that would change the circumstances that led to this thing pumping this hard in the first place. So with something like Pepe, the reason I sold was after like, I don't know, a month or a month and a half or something like that. It just looked like the crypto market was cooked. It looked like Pepe was losing all of the attention. But the thing is, like, if you really think that this is, I mean, and we all know how big of a meme Pepe is, if you really think that that is something that's going to be prevalent in the crypto space for a long time, if you think that meme coins are going to be, you know, relevant for a long time, if you think people are going to trade memes on ETH for a long time, like, there's no reason to get out of that position. Like, maybe you want to sell and then buy back. Like, sure, if you're a trader, I'm not really a trader, but I think it's really about like thinking carefully about like what would change. And usually the thing that changes for me is like, I just think there's a better opportunity, right? So it's like, okay, WIF gets to a few hundred million. It's like, okay, let me sell a good chunk and then go into something else. But the thing is, the chance of you being right and catching a Pepe, WIF, SHIB, you know, whatever else, it happens maybe once a year at best, maybe twice a year. And so, yeah, if you have a real runner, like, I just think you just let it ride. You don't really even think about taking profit until something like fundamentally, deeply, deeply changes about like why it would stop pumping. So yeah, that's my take. That's commandment number two. Okay. First, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to having a thesis, right? And yeah, you're right. You just have to like underwrite, has the thesis changed? Like, am I getting to a place now where I can safely say I was wrong, right? Like, you want to be underwriting that thesis constantly. But if something is running, like, it's probably your thesis playing out. So double check that that you didn't just get lucky, and that like what you expected is the thing that's causing it to pump. And then hold on for dear life. Yeah. I mean, the number one thing that can change is like, is the meme coin season over, right? And there have been times when like, probabilistically, like, maybe, right? Like, for a lot of last year, that was the case after Pepe ran initially, right? Yeah, if you have something that's just like clearly a winner and you see the fundamentals continuing to move as you expected them to reflect your thesis that you thought would play out, like, yeah, fucking hold, right? I mean, we've all made this mistake. Like, I paper-handed 90% of my whiff, right, on the way up, right? But like, you know, And if you make a lot of money, like you really have to like, what you want to do is like, if you're ever going to sell, it should be because you know that you'll sell everything at a lower point if in a panic, if things start to turn, right? And so,
absolutely. Like, this is a huge point. Yeah, this is a huge point. It's way better to be selling on the way down than it is to be selling on the way up. That's how I've come to kind of play this stuff. I think selling on the way up, you can really play yourself.
For me, it's the opposite. It's like, I know that I will sell everything at a local bottom if I don't take some profit on the way up, right? And so like the other day when WIF hit 325, I was like, man, if this thing ever goes below three again, I'm going to panic and sell everything. Let me just take like some of my bag off the table here and book the profit on that. Because if it goes to 299 and I sell everything there, I know that's not actually going to zero, right? But it's going to feel that way psychologically. So it's all about putting myself in a position to not really fuck it up, to not like actually sell everything at the local bottom is the idea.
Yeah, no, that's a fair way to play it. I think the thing is, like, at this stage, if you're selling WIF, I think it's kind of like, you basically had a free roll, right? Like you ran the meme coin to multi billions. I think if you're buying WIF here, you have to be a lot more careful. I think if you're selling WIF here from, you know, obviously wherever you wrote it, like you kind of just have a free roll, like, you know, take a profit. Yeah. This is more about buying a meme coin that you hope makes it to multi-billions and kind of how to play that, right?
If your thesis is coming to fruition and you're on the way up, congratulations, you were right. Continue to be right by not selling. I agree.
Yeah, as the kids say these days, you know, choose rich.
Choose rich.
Choose rich. Okay, Matt, what's your next commandment?
All right, commandment number two, or three. Thou shalt think in probabilities, okay? So this is the second piece. You have your thesis, right? And you should have some idea for, like, if the thesis starts to play out, what is some evidence I can look for that will confirm that for me to help me underwrite continuing to hold, right? And not just, like, booking profit. So for WIF, I sent this in like a group chat. I was looking at it back in mid-November, and it was like, look, the bull case is WIF is going to get some centralized exchange listings on like the tier twos and tier threes over the next couple of weeks. Then we're going to start to see the hat everywhere. People are going to be talking about it on Twitter, right? Like a lot more than they were those first few days, right? Then it's going to ride to like a higher market cap. People will rotate, take profit. And then it'll, you know, send again and eventually culminate with a billion plus market cap and a Binance listing, and then maybe ultimately a Coinbase listing. So the thesis is this is a good meme. It's very spreadable and it has the potential to get big. How do I see, what's the world like where that plays out? It's each of these little milestones along the way. And every time I see one, I can check it off and be like, nice. This is like, this thesis is playing out, right? Then you need to have a bear case, right? You absolutely should have in mind, like, where could I be wrong? Well, maybe the dog with a hat is like not as funny as I think it is. And so I actually don't see that much of it on Twitter coming up. Or maybe centralized exchanges don't want to list it because they think that the dev is sketchy or something. And so we don't see any centralized exchange listings. If we hadn't seen a single like shitty centralized exchange listing in the month of November, like I probably would have cut the position size, right? Similarly with bigger lists, like Kraken listed it at the end of December, right? That also would have, like, if something like that hadn't happened, or crypto.com, right? If something like that hadn't happened, I would have had to like re-underwrite the thesis. So it's about thinking like, what state of the world am I living in? And then constantly re-underwriting what the state of the world is, right? So I don't know about you, but like, I'm not good at just like buying and holding without thinking about it. I constantly have to be re-underwriting my position. I'm like, almost to a degree of paranoia, and it's definitely like a bear market instinct, right? But what I'm doing that whole time is trying to figure out if the way that I expect the state of the world to be is coming to fruition or not. And if it is, then, you know, fuck it, you can double down, right? Just because like your bag's up 100%, if you think that the fundamentals have improved more than that, faster than that, then like you absolutely should be buying more. Like trade with the momentum to a degree, right? But if it starts to not happen, and you can't let price be the only informer here, right? Like price should inform you, but like you want to primarily be thinking about your thesis, right? And you constantly have to underwrite and re-underwrite the probability that you're living in the state of the world where this thing blows up and gets big, right? Mm-hmm. And what's the probability that it goes to zero, right? And like, it's all about risk reward. So a lot of times, like the coin goes up 200%, but the probability that it goes bigger has improved a lot over that period of time. It actually becomes a safer investment relative to like where it was when you started out. So for me, it's, you know, it's all about having this probability matrix of like, what are the possible outcomes? What do I think the probability of each of them is? And then consistently re-underwriting that as time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have to like, this stuff changes so fast and it's really based on attention. And so you have to really just be in tune with, is this thing still relevant? And could it become relevant at some point again in the future? If not, you know, so I do think like, yeah, you do have to constantly evaluate whether what you initially had as your thesis is still playing out as you thought. So yeah, I agree. Yeah. Okay. Commandment number 4, pick a chain. This and the next commandment that I have are pretty related, but I think that you really have to pick your lane and really understand where your strength is. The thing is, with every single chain, there's like a different ethos, different kind of culture, different way even that the market acts. Like the actual market structure is different. If you look at Solana versus if you are trading on ETH versus if you're trading on like, I don't know, Sui or somewhere else. But
Blast, the L2 with native yield backed by Paradigm.
Yeah, yeah. Blast, everything is going to zero quick.
gets blasted.
But so yeah, you have to really understand the game, right? So like we were talking, or you were sharing with me some of like the work you're doing with like looking at like DCAs on Solana, right? So it's like other chains don't really operate where like something like Jupiter is such a big part of their ecosystem, and like DCAs are a thing, like limit orders are a thing, and like just the market, the way the market moves on Solana meme coins is very different. Let alone the fact that gas is basically zero, so people feel very much free to, take a $10 profit and just exit. And so things move very differently. So you have to like really understand the game that you're playing. Like I know right now that AVAX meme coins are popping off, but I just have no understanding of that market. Like the number one meme coin on that chain for the longest time, and might still be the case, was Cock Inu. Now, there's basically nothing in the world that would have informed me that Cock Inu was going to be, you know, a $300 million runner. But that's just because I'm not really tuned in to anything happening on AVAX. Like, to me, that's just not a funny meme. Like, that just it's just a weird thing to pump on your ecosystem. But, it's happening, and I would have totally missed it, and I have no regrets about missing that one because it's just not my game. So I'm happy where I'm at. I'm happy on Sol. I'm happy like experimenting a little bit on Base. But you know, you kind of just have to understand where you're comfortable, where you also understand the memes, understand the participants, the market participants. And understand who you're trading against. And all of that is very much like core to how a chain operates and who the people are that are trading on that chain. So yeah, I think it's really, really best to choose a chain or choose like maybe one side chain or like, you know, a chain that you just kind of experiment with and don't really, you know, you just see some opportunity, you play around, but that's different than I think your kind of like core area of focus. So I think that's a really important piece here. That's commandment number four.
Man, I could not agree more. And partially just because if you're on Twitter and your algo is feeding you a lot of one chain and you try to trade on another, you're playing with like one hand behind your back. Right, you're flying blind there. You don't have that, you know, you don't have that information stream feeding you the existing memes, showing you how they can be used, what the community thinks of them, how many people are interested in them. Like, so part of picking a chain is also just to optimize your information flow, because you're like constantly getting information from the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you have to just be as plugged in as possible to just a very like, you know, select corner of the internet and the ecosystem, like the crypto ecosystem broadly. So choose one ecosystem and just tap in.
Absolutely. I would add one little thing before we move on to the next one. If you're going to switch ecosystems, that should be a very conscious decision on your part. You should be going through Twitter, figuring out who you need to follow, maybe making a new Twitter list, maybe making a new account and committing to following that and using that as your primary source of information. Like, if you're going to switch chains, there's no shame in it. Like, you know, maybe there's an airdrop coming for, you know, like a new L2 or something. Right. And like Base, right? Like, there's all these rumors about a Base airdrop. And it's totally cool to like bridge over and try to play that. But understand that where you are at that point in time is a total rookie. And you are like the bottom of the information flow at that point, the information totem pole. And so, like, if you're going to choose to switch chains, that has to be like a very active decision. And you have to back it up with a lot of work. And it should be like very, very conscious and driven by some kind of fundamental like thesis as well, right? So the thesis for Solana, the cycle was basically like, look, the chain works really well. The attention is not as fragmented as it is on L2s. People know how to use the tooling because they used it all two years ago or last cycle, right? And the price of Sol is going to pump. That's like a really strong thesis for Solana, that it is going to be the retail chain because it's easy to use and like generally works unless the chain is down or, you know, like RPCs are having trouble or whatever. So that thesis will allow you to also underwrite the time investment in entering that new ecosystem and like actually following people on Twitter, making sure that like you're getting the right source of information, following everything that's going on there, learning about the market structure and all that. So if you're going to switch ecosystems or add a new one, you have to be like really hardworking when you choose to do that.
Yeah. I agree more.
You can't just buy like the hot coin one day, right? And like try to make money off of that. You're just going to lose. You're going to buy every local top. Okay. Commandment number one, two,
five.
Yeah. Commandment number five, thou shalt choose cute. This one is pretty straightforward. It's like, it's good to choose a cute meme. The cuter the meme, the more mass appeal there is. And the more either normies will buy it, or more likely at this stage in the cycle, the more crypto native people will buy it, expecting normies to buy it, right? The dog with a hat, it's a dog with a hat, right? Versus like, I saw a couple meme coins, one on Ethereum, one on Solana, which are like AI nude generators. One of them, I think both of them, the ticker was $nude. And it's like, everybody should think that that's like funny and it's got a little bit of an AI twist and like should be hot. nobody's like tweeting about that because nobody wants to be like, oh, check out the bot that makes nudes, right? The cute memes, however, are like really easy to share. It's really easy for mainstream media to talk about them, which once more might fundamentally shift the market because normies are watching Bloomberg and they see someone talk about a dog with hat, or like because crypto native people think normies are watching Bloomberg and they're going to buy dog with hat as a result. Like, it doesn't really matter, right? But like cuteness sort of trumps everything. I think this is true nowhere more than like pudgy penguins, right? Like that was like the entire trade there. They're cute, they're lovable, the apes are like cringe. So pudgies like kind of rallied just on cuteness alone. You have to choose cute. This was my big push for WIF over like reinvesting into something like Pepe, right? Like the Pepe memes are like, they're pretty degen, right? They're pretty crypto native. Like we're in a lot of group chats with like just some disgusting Pepe memes getting sent around. Dog with hat, it's a dog and he's got a hat and he's pretty cute, right? So I just think like the cute factor, you really can't underestimate how important that is in something's virality. Like the internet has always been for sharing cute photos.
Yeah, absolutely. Cute is a very simple and very strong thesis, and it's played out over and over in crypto. You know, the photo of the original, I think it's a Shiba Inu that the dog with hat dog is, oh no, it's not a Shiba Inu, it's some other dog, but whatever dog it is, in the dog with hat meme, the original photo just got tokenized and sold to GCR for $4 million today. That's why WIF pumped so hard. So yeah, cute is a very simple and strong thesis, and it's not really ever gone wrong in the history of crypto.
Yeah, I mean, cute is enough to propel a meme beyond a lot of these like natural levels where people would sell, right? Mm-hmm. In a way that like Joe Bowden probably, you know, maybe it's big enough and like has enough mass appeal, right? But like Popcat's not as cute. I think it's inherently capped in terms of like how big it can get relative to something mm-hmm. like WIF.
Mm. Yeah, I think, I mean, we'll see. Honestly, I do think personally that Bowden will get pretty big. I think,
I mean, me too. I'm long, but yeah. Cute can propel you past like liquidity walls is basically what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Okay. Commandment number 6. This is very related to pick a chain, but commandment number 6 is pick a niche. So we were talking, I mean, this whole podcast is about meme coins, but, even within meme coins, like you don't want to be all over the place with what you're trading. The real core of this is around the market participants that you're trading against and really sticking to an area that you know who you're trading against at all times. The people that are going to be buying and selling AI coins, and that you know relates to like AI meme coins as well, they're going to be very different from the people that are buying cute meme coins, and those are generally different than the people that are going to be buying something like Elizabeth Horan, right? So if you're playing the degen meme space, you have to play that very differently. If you're playing the pre-sale influencer pump and dump kind of like caller space, that's a whole different thing. That's generally like a space where you're getting in at like 30K market cap and you're getting out at like a 200K market cap and you're flipping one soul into three soul and just doing it over and over and over like many times a day. And, that's just a whole different game. So really understand where you're at, both in the size of your portfolio, both in how much time you're spending on like glued to Twitter, You know, what time frame you're trading on, and that's all going to inform the, you know, types of memes that you're getting into, right? Like trading a meme coin that's at $10 million market cap that's been around for 5 days is a completely different game than even a $10 million market cap that's been around for 3 months, right? Because you don't know what's happened in those 3 months, and you don't know who the buyers and sellers have been this whole time. You don't know what the meme is, like all this kind of stuff, right? It really comes down to understanding like the exact kind of niche that you're in, you know, what kind of time frames you're playing on, what kind of market participants you're trading against, and just kind of sticking to what works for you. Like it's going to be very different for every single person, but like that's what this commandment is about, like finding your specific lane.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's behavioral, right? And the same way that like picking a chain is so important because you know more about your counterparties and the buyer, the potential marginal buyers and the existing holder base, right? You also develop that niche expertise when you pick a niche, and you learn, okay, what are people going to do when this thing hits 10 million? Is everyone just going to dump, right? Like what's going to happen when the dog with hat goes on the sphere? Is it going to pump or dump? You know, a little of both. picking your niche is super important. And this is way easier said than done, right? Like I think it's like, it's human nature to want to like gamble outside of your area of expertise. And you have to be like at least a little impulsive to want to fucking trade any of this stuff, right? So I think it's okay to be impulsive, but you should make sure that you never ever risk much on an area that you don't have any expertise in, right? Yeah. It should always be like, it's okay to like dabble, but like don't do it with much money. Make sure that like you're being really sober about that.
Yeah. All right, Matt, your turn.
This kind of goes hand in hand. So commandment number 7, thou shalt not FOMO buy. Okay. So I'm like very clearly drawing a line here between buying something that's up and FOMO buying, right? So buying something that's up is generally a great strategy, right? It's like I trade momentum, right? So when things are going up, that means that like the thesis behind them is actively being confirmed, right? So if I have this thesis and it has once more some milestones that I expect it to hit, centralized exchange liquidity, you know, leverage on perps, right? Like integration with DeFi protocols, more people tweeting about it, right? More attention. Like I'm likely to already be somewhere in that the first time I see a token, right? And you should be trying to buy stuff that's going up, right? The thing that you don't want to do is to buy the blow off top, right? Or buy the local top. So here's my argument against the local top. If you buy a local top, what it means is there's a good, like with meme coins, it's, you know, like this cone of probability is what you'd call it. Like you look at the price chart and it's going up or down, but it's mostly trending up. But there's like two channels, right, that you expected to trade within. And somewhere in, like, if you're buying the local top, it doesn't mean that it's the global top, right? Like the channel trends up, but there's a high probability that it's going to go lower than that at some point too, right? So psychologically, what that does to you is it primes you to say, I was wrong, I'm selling, right? So it's much easier to hold a position if the first 30 minutes of it, you're in profit, right? That's like ultimately what you're seeking out, is like, if you can get a good entry, it will enable you to hold for like super wild upside multiples, and not sell when it's 20% down from where you bought it. Right. And so, you know, on Ethereum, the rule of thumb that I always had was don't buy when gas is high, right? If you're spending a lot of money to buy, and this is mostly for NFTs, to buy NFTs, and you know, you can see that people are actively buying and selling this stuff because you see the pending orders on OpenSea or whatever, it's probably not a good time to buy, right? You probably want to wait for the attention to cool off at least like a little bit, or for some people to take profit, because there's always some people that will take profit. And the harder, faster something pumps, the more people are waiting to take profit once it stops pumping. Wait for that to happen and then buy it, right? Buy dips, not rips. Whatever you do, don't FOMO buy, because more often than not, like, if you're FOMO buying something because you see all of these people locking in these massive wins, getting in early on something like Pepe or Whiff or SHIB, or like your whole list, right? What it does to you psychologically is it restricts your tradable universe to things that are like below a certain market cap. And you're like, if I could just get 1% of the supply when something's at 100K market cap, then I'll think of how much I'll have when it hits a billion, right? That's really dangerous, because when something's at 100K market cap, if it pumps too hard initially, everybody just tries to book the win and it just goes to zero, right? And so you want to wait ideally for a couple of pumps and then drops and then pump and then buy the next drop, right? So it's good to buy like momentum, but don't FOMO buy because you've seen something that's up 7,000,000% in the last 30 minutes, because chances are somebody out there is taking profit on that. You will get a better entry.
Yeah. Could not agree more. I think most of the money in meme coins is lost chasing. And when you end up chasing green candles is usually when you can blow out your account. So do not chase. Which sounds funny given my next commandment, which is all-time high is a great time to buy. Really what this means is these things are all momentum driven. You mentioned, you know, you trade the stuff like based on momentum. And if you see something kind of just ping ponging, chopping around, just in a range for a long time, you see a breakout. Obviously, this has to be paired with all the other commandments and all the other fundamentals that we talked about. And this thing has to actually be viral. It's not like just some random exit pump that people are manufacturing, but it has to be something that you're constantly tracking. It's still in the attention zone. I think everything is really just about the attention zone. If it's in that kind of like sphere of attention of the people that are the actual market participants, then you see this thing finally break out in price. It means that it just means that the sellers are no longer there. It's, you know, whoever is going to sell has already sold, and now it's still in people's minds, and the new wave of buyers are coming, and it breaks that all-time high. Price and attention are very much correlated. So if the attention is still there, price goes up, that leads to more attention, that leads to price going up, that leads to just a whole different kind of market structure. So that's what I mean by all-time high is a good place to buy. You know, it usually means that the momentum is about to really take off for this coin, and you can kind of be safe knowing that it's about to kind of break out, and this is really kind of only true if it is true that like this thing still has a ton of attention, right? So like, going back to the Whiff example, like when you told me like, dude, I'm buying a ton of Whiff, I was like, okay, great. And I looked at it and it was like, I think I had been away for like my meditation retreat for like 10 days or something. And I came back and you were like telling me about Whiff, and I was like, I kind of missed the beginning of this. I don't really know. And then I saw it like popping up on my feed everywhere. It was like just breaking out of like, it's like massive consolidation around like 10 mil or so. And it went from like 10 to 15. And I was like, oh yeah, for sure. Like this thing now is about to rocket. And they don't all do that. Go straight from 10 mil to 2 bill. But price is usually it's not necessarily a leading indicator of attention, but it's like a flywheel. So, all-time high, good place to buy.
I totally agree. I think one of the more important nuances is that I think that's more true for coins that have been around for a few days, at least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's a very important caveat. I would not be chasing all-time highs on, like, the first day or the second day. I think the first couple days, there's, like, a very high chance these coins die. So usually you want to do this after it's consolidated. Usually every meme coin basically looks the same. It's just a massive pump, and then it just dies, consolidates for a while, and then you want to catch that half pipe right back up.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, people are going to bring up counterexamples like, Matt, Karan, what about Book of Meme, right? Which was just kind of like crazy all-time high day after day for a few days. And it's like, yeah. I wouldn't want to take that risk. I don't think the risk reward is there on something like that, because it's, you know, there's a potential that it's like really sped run its longevity. And more importantly, like if you try to buy everything that has like a 1 to 2 day chart that looks like that, more often than not, it's not going to work. So yeah, I love this, like, wait for it to consolidate. And, you know, there's always this, like, if it hasn't died yet, it's probably not going to die. And that's like something that you're always trying to underwrite. And that probability matrix is like, what are the odds this thing just goes to zero, right? And the all-time high, continuous all-time high breakouts are like a really good way to ensure that it doesn't just immediately go to zero. Okay. This is my most controversial hot take commandment. Commandment number five. Dogs will forever be bigger than cats. I don't make the rules. I'm just a humble observer here. It's been true since the dawn of time that, like, every time dogs go big, people are like, okay, cat season next, right? It's been true since Dogecoin. I don't know if you listen to the Up Only episode with Kobe. He talks quite a bit about this. He's like, yeah, man, like, there was Doge, and then there was, like, a proof of work, like, cat coin. And like Doge started to pop off, and then like Catcoin, a lot of people chased it, and it was just like so clearly like a really fast like money grab, and like everybody sort of had the same thesis that like as soon as it was invalidated even a little bit, it just went to zero. You know, the fact that this has been happening since Dogecoin tells you something, right? That like cats will always be smaller than dogs. Like, and it's just the rules. Like, I wish, you know, it's kind of like, you could argue that this has always been true for Ethereum NFTs being the highest value NFTs. They probably will continue to be, with a couple of exceptions, just because like, that's always been true. So I think like, to a degree, people are always pattern matching. I think a lot of meme coin trading is really just pattern matching, right? Mm-hmm. And you're pattern matching not because there's some like magical thing that makes the pattern go back to what it always has been. You're pattern matching because that's what your fellow market participants are expecting. And they will take action to try to get ahead of or, you know, behind like whatever trend, right? And so if they see a pattern starting to form, the pattern's more likely to form just because everybody like matches it and acts accordingly. Cat coins will always be smaller than dog coins because this has always been the pattern.
Yeah, I do not think that Popcat or Wen or what's the other one? Mog are going to catch up to Whiff or especially to Doge or SHIB. So yeah, I agree. I think it's, I don't know what it is. I think the dog coin meta is just too strong. I do think we might see a $1 billion cat coin though. But I do think that, yeah, all these other ones will be quite a bit bigger. It is interesting though, you mentioned ETH NFTs, but we just saw ordinals, like the biggest ordinal collection already flipped, Bored Apes.
Ah, nice. So,
in market value or in, floor price. Yeah, market cap or floor price, yeah, both.
Interesting.
But yeah, I generally agree. Okay, my final, or the final commandment that we have, and this is broadly applicable, not just to meme coins, but forget your all-time high net worth. It does not exist. I'm not inventing this advice, but I think it's very important, important enough to share. You know, a lot of people think about like, oh, at this point I had, or, you know, like 2 years ago I had 4,000 SOL and, you know, I spent it on these NFTs and this and this and this. And, you know, I ran it down to from 4,000 SOL, which was, even if it was like, you know, $30, people count that as like marking it to today's value and all this kind of stuff. But, and you know, I have been very much guilty of this in the past, where it's like, oh my God, if I had just kept all my meme coins, it would have been worth like this much, and all this kind of stuff. It just distracts you from being able to think clearly and from making the right decisions given the current circumstances, given the current state of the market, given where, just like where your portfolio is now. And that's basically what you have to optimize for: where you are now, where the market is now, what it's telling you, where your portfolio is now, the level of risk that you can take, that you're comfortable with. So yeah, don't think about the past. Do not think about the future. Do not ever think about what your net worth will be if this coin hits a dollar or if it hits a billion. That's detrimental to your decision-making ability and to your mental health. So yeah, optimize. I would say this commandment is really optimize for your mental health, because meme coin trading, if nothing else, is kind of at the edge of risk-taking. And so if you can't think clearly, you're just going to make the worst decisions possible. And thinking clearly is not about reducing your risk or optimizing for kind of risk, right? Like, we're in a bull market. We're in the most ridiculous markets of all time, where you can literally go from a few thousand bucks to $1 million in a few days on some random coins of animals or of, you know, autistic politicians or whatever. And to play that, you have to be thinking in a certain way. And that actually requires clarity. People think it's like luck, or people think it's whatever. And a lot of it is definitely luck. Like, don't get me wrong. Absolutely. But you also have to be like almost like free in your mind to like shut your mind off in ways and just be like, let me ride this wave, or let me like really kind of think in a different way than I would when analyzing, you know, other assets, or just like think in a different kind of way. Right. So like you have to have your mind be pliable enough to do that. Yeah, that's the final commandment.
Yeah. Free your mind.
Free your mind.
Solve for happiness. I really like that. Don't think about the past. Don't think about the future. Think about today, right? And try to figure out, what is my thesis behind everything in my portfolio? Is it playing out? Am I comfortable with it? Do I need to adjust that? Because if, you know, these are super risky, and the risk alone can drive you to make terrible decisions. So you have to be thinking like super clearly.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, this is great. I think people will find this very valuable.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, let us
know. Do you
think
we're top-ticking the meme coin meta?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If there's anything I believe in this cycle, it's the meme coin super cycle. I think we're going to see just the most absurd, crazy stuff. I actually do think that memes are a new asset class for sure. Mm-hmm. They're culture coins now. They're not meme coins. They're
culture coins. I like it.
Yeah. All right, Matt. We'll catch you next time. This has been the Decent Crypto Podcast. Have a great week, everybody. And until next time, stay decent.